Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen, and it is Wednesday. That's the 10th of July, and we're just one day away from an incredible event. There's so many incredible events lately, but there's no question that tomorrow evening, when Joe Biden does his press conference at the end of the NATO summit, it is going to be a huge day in all of our political lives, because I can guarantee you that those reporters are going to work on him as tough as they can for, I'll say, probably 2 hours. They won't let him go, and he won't be able to just walk out. He's going to have to stay there and take all of it. And if he walks out of there in one piece, then he might still be the candidate. If he doesn't make it tomorrow, it's over. But in addition to all of that, how about Donald? You know, everything is focused on Joe Biden. I understand why. I really do. It's legitimate. I mean, you got a president of the United States who may or may not be able to continue operating either in the job or at least as a speaker for the party. Not that he doesn't do it. Not that he doesn't do well on the teleprompter. He's fine on the teleprompter. Not perfect, but fine. And the problem is, when he's on his own, it's rough. And we're going to see him for 2 hours tomorrow on his own. And the question is, can he do it? Now, the other side is, how about Donald? Now, I saw Donald yesterday at a rally that he did. And I can assure you that everything he talked about, everything that came out of his mouth, was 100% gibberish. It was. He had no idea what he was talking about. He was on subjects that were irrelevant. He said things that were so foolish that, you know, if not for the fact that Joe Biden is in so much trouble, people would be asking the question, what's with this guy? What's he talking about? One thing for sure, he was not talking about anything having to do with government policy. I mean, he can talk about how fat Governor Christie is. Yeah, he could do that. He could talk a lot of things about other people that he doesn't like. But he couldn't really talk about policy, and he certainly did not. So whether he could or he couldn't, he didn't. And, you know, you would hope that in a presidential campaign that somebody would be talking about policy. And, of course, Joe Biden is. He talks about policy all the time. Now, he does get confused, and he's not going to be able to do that anymore. He really can't. Because if he does, he's going to be removed. I can assure you of that. There are enough people coming out against him right now that it's going to be very tough for him to hold in. And the latest is Senator Mike Bennett. And he is saying that, you know, Trump could win. Or possibly Biden may have no chance to win. I mean, he said it sort of both ways. I would have to say this. You know, I've been mentioning for several days now, I'm a little worried about the Paul von Hindenburg example. One more time, in case you haven't heard it. Von Hindenburg was the Chancellor of Germany in 1933. And he was running against Adolf Hitler, which, I mean, this, it really, holds up, this example holds up very well, because you've got an old man running against, well, then it was a Nazi, now it's a neo-Nazi. But, and by the way, speaking of neo-Nazis, let me say that the foreign secretary from Great Britain was calling Donald a neo-Nazi sympathizer. And he is. At least that. So, you know, this is not just me saying it. This is, you know, people are saying this because he is. But forgetting that for the moment, if you listen to a short comparison between Joe Biden yesterday and Donald Trump, I think you might get some understanding of what I'm talking about here. So let's try that right now, Joe, and we'll listen to what the two of those said. This was on Morning Joe this morning.
Who says Biden's campaign could lead to Republicans winning both chambers of Congress. We'll talk about all of this. Good
okay,
morning,
so, yeah,
and
let's
welcome
stop
to
that,
Morning Joe.
Joe.
It is Wednesday.
So here's the problem. This is what I was telling you. You can work on it. You got to hit that back button several times, and the first thing you're going to see is Trump and Biden together. Split screens. Yeah, there you go. Okay. Very good.
That is first.
But you got to get back to that.
Wow, wow, wow. Campaign could lead to Republicans winning. Meanwhile, on Capitol Hill, there are still serious concerns within the Democratic
two or three
caucus
times
about the.
It'll go it there.
That
yeah, probably
out for the world.
There,
did
try that.
Did you ever hear of Hannibal Lecter? They always say, "Oh, that's terrible." That Trump would say, "He is rambling about Hannibal Lecter." No, I'm not rambling. Yes, oh yes, and quickly, says President Trump. Yes, oh yes.
That was Donald Trump yesterday, Willie.
His first. Well, we can stop that. That's fine. I mean, you got a little hint. He's talking about Hannibal Lecter, and he's talking about Chris Christie being too fat, and some junk about Kamala, and all nonsense, gibberish. You know, he even says, "Oh, they're making fun of me because I'm rambling about Hannibal Lecter." Well, first of all, he is rambling about Hannibal Lecter,
which is our responsibility.
That's all right. He is rambling about Hannibal Lecter. And the second thing is, why is he even talking about Hannibal Lecter? Look, we understand. One time he said Hannibal Lecter. Okay, one time. But then he keeps saying it. He keeps talking about it. What does that have to do with American policy or world events? And the answer is absolutely nothing. This is what he talks about. He talks about that. He talks about sharks. He talks about electric batteries and electrocuting yourself. Man's got a screw loose. Okay. So we'll catch something else here in a minute. But you know, just the key is that everything that Joe Biden talks about has to do with policy. And tomorrow, I mean, we're going to hear this man talking about policy. I understand he has not done these press conferences because it's difficult for him. He is struggling through this, and this is exactly why he is probably not going to be running for president of the United States at the appropriate time. I believe that they will pull him out and replace him with Kamala Harris, and that's where we'll go forward. I think that's my belief. I love Joe Biden as much as any of those people who keep saying, "I love Joe Biden, but," and that's the thing. I love Joe Biden, but, and when I say I love Joe Biden, you know, I got a few minutes here, so let's talk about some of the things that he did. First of all, coming out of COVID, he stopped talking about crazy ideas for how you could cure COVID, which all the doctors were saying were crazy. Just crazy. Ivor Rector, whatever that was. I don't know what it's called. It doesn't matter because it was a horse tranquilizer, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work for anything except for tranquilizing horses. And if you take too much of it as a human, it'll kill you. But it certainly didn't cure anybody of COVID. I mean, this is all nonsense. And then there was the bleach, all that stuff. That was crazy. And if you were out in the sun enough, it would kill the virus. And there was just one person, and it would all go away, and it would be okay. I mean, all of that. And then, if you recall, he was on tape. So we're not making this up. He was on tape with Bob Woodward. And he's suing Woodward for this, by the way. But he's on tape with Woodward saying that he knew that all those things he told us were crazy. That he knew that this was a serious problem. But he didn't want to scare anybody. Well, that's not how we work, especially not if you're the president of the United States. You're supposed to get up and tell. John Kennedy didn't get up during the Cuban Missile Crisis and say that we were sending some ships down towards Cuba so some of the soldiers or Navy people or whichever were involved so that they could go down there and swim. He didn't make something up. He told why they were going. We had a problem with missiles. And he told it. And people were very frightened. But he told it. Donald didn't want to tell. Donald didn't want to tell because he thought it would hurt his image. That's what he was worried about. And he told some of that to Bob Woodward on tape. We hear it. He talked about it. And here's the thing. He's now suing Woodward. Even though Woodward had agreements in advance to use those tapes. Woodward is one of the top journalists in the United States. You don't think that he came into this without signing some releases. And he did. And they'll bring that up in court if it ever gets there. Donald's got a serious problem. He's got some screws loose. Now, Joe Biden has geriatric problems. He's an old man. And, you know, some people age well, some people not so well. Joe Biden's not the worst, but he's certainly not the best. And he's struggling enough that I think that it's time to turn it over to Kamala Harris and move on. If I'm right, and Kamala Harris ends up as the nominee for the Democratic Party, I think it's fair to say, first of all, she'll get all the black vote. I understand. There'll be 5%. And I've said all along, it's all it's going to be. Donald will get 5% of the black vote. And in the case of Kamala Harris running, believe me, it'll be 5%. They'll all vote for the black woman. They will. They will. So that's the first thing. And then women, because she's not just a black person, she's a black woman. Women will all vote for her. I guarantee it. They're already voting for Joe Biden. They'll vote for Kamala Harris. They'll be more enthused, and they'll vote for Kamala Harris. Now, the third thing is young people. And young people are saying they don't want Joe Biden and they don't want Donald Trump. They don't want anybody 80 years old. And so they will vote for the woman who is 59 years old, who is an excellent speaker, communicator, prosecutor. She knows how to prosecute the case that she needs to make against Trump. It's just, there's no question. She will get those three groups at least. And with that, the election will be over. And in addition, and this one I can't prove either, But if they're smart, if she's smart, this is going to be her pick. One would be Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, because that's a swing state and we need that vote. The other possibility is Gretchen Whitmer out of Michigan. And then the question is, do you want two women on the ballot, president and vice president? It's not going to hurt you with blacks, so that's going to be okay. It's not going to hurt you with women, so that's going to be okay. And I don't know, you know, maybe there will be a few young people who will say we ought to have a man on the ticket, but, you know, I wouldn't get too worried about that either. So it could be Gretchen, it could be Josh, one of the two, and that would get Michigan or Pennsylvania in play properly. And then you got a really good chance of running the table in those swing states. So that, listen, Kamala is going to win. If she gets in, she'll win. Now, the next thing is that Trump is working, whatever you want to call it. You wouldn't want to call it work when it comes from him. But certainly he is working against her because he's afraid of her. And he ought to be. In fact, the polls already, there are some brand new polls out. And one was this Ipsos poll, which showed Joe Biden ahead by 1 point. And it showed Kamala now ahead by 2 points. So she's certainly not hurting anything. And I think that over time, she will help considerably. Now, I understand just before she got close to this, she was not doing so well in the polls. But she was in the background and nobody was really thinking about it and it didn't mean anything. Now it means something. And I think you'll see she will quickly move well ahead in the polls. And then I think you're going to see her win this election by a substantial number. I mean, what's Donald got to talk about? Hannibal Lecter? How fat Chris Christie is? That isn't going to work. That isn't going to get anybody elected on the Republican side, I can tell you. And that's all he's got to talk about, unless he's talking about batteries that will electrocute you on a boat. Or, you know, maybe he'll be talking about sharks. So batteries on a boat, sharks, and Hannibal Lecter. And that's about what he's got right now. As opposed to the Democratic Party talking about child care tax credits, which, as you probably know very well, have been wiped out by the Republican Party in Congress. Joe Biden put them in place, and all of these families were benefiting from it. And listen, you know, you talk to people about how upset they are with inflation. That's nothing compared to how people feel right now about their kids. They've got a problem. What do you do if you've got kids and you have to go to work and you don't want those kids sitting at home? They're not old enough for kindergarten, so you send them to child care, and that child care is very expensive. If you can get it for $1,500 a month, you'll be doing well. That's on the low side. And what if you got two kids? And now you're talking $3,000 a month for your kids to be taken care of? That's far in excess of what people pay for very expensive mortgage payments. Joe Biden came out immediately when he won the presidency, and he didn't just recommend it, he got it passed. People were getting money to take care of their kids, and they need that money. They really do. I mean, you could sit around and talk about inflation and all the rest. People need that money to take care of their kids. If you've got kids, you know this is an expensive proposition. And then you go down the line. This guy, Joe Biden, saved NATO. Saved it. Restored it. That's what they're doing this week in New York. They're celebrating it. I can tell you right now that Donald Trump being against NATO is absolutely insane. But it is part of Project 2025, I can tell you that. Shut down NATO. These people aren't smart. Certainly not politically and not even policy-wise. They're beyond bizarre. They want to do things that will destroy this country. So as a result, yes, Joe Biden is doing very well considering the numbers where they were before the debate and where they are now. I mean, he's hanging right in there. Why? Because he really shouldn't be. But he is because Donald's a lunatic and people know it. So hang on a second here. Let's listen to Nancy Pelosi talking about this race.
People safe. That means globally and locally and in every way. Donald Trump is a danger to our country. And people should understand that. And when he goes off and cozies up to Putin, his buddy, for whatever reason. You know, when I left that table with that pointing to him, I was saying, with you, Mr. President, all roads lead to Putin. And it still is true. What's the connection? I don't know. But whatever it is, it's dangerous. It's dangerous to the American people and global security.
Okay, you can shut that down.
I'd like to.
And that's exactly what I have been saying over and over here. No one knows what that connection is. No one knows what deal Donald Trump has with Vladimir Putin. But there's a deal. Now, I say it, yes. Nancy Pelosi says it, absolutely. And there are others as well who are saying it. And you know, if you think they're making it up, I tell you, go to the Mueller report. And then I say the Mueller report and you get somebody laughing. Oh, the Mueller report. Yeah, right. That's a lie. No, it's not a lie. The only lie is what's told about what's in the Mueller report. Because I can tell you right now, I've read all 448 pages. Donald Trump's people met with the Russians illegally 144 times. They weren't prosecuted for two reasons. Number one, it was said that according to the Department of Justice rules, that they couldn't do it. And Bob Mueller abided by those rules. He said, I can't exonerate this guy, but I can tell you he did things. So that was one of the points. The next point, and this is critical. The Attorney General came out in front of the American people and he lied. He said, first, that the report exonerated Trump, which of course it said in the report the opposite. It said we can't exonerate Trump. But he lied. He wrote it up in an official attorney general document, whatever that means. But people believed it. And then they all said, yeah, Russia, Russia, Russia. Yeah, it's a hoax. Okay, you could say it. But there were 144 identified illegal meetings in that report. Now, here we are, 6 years later. Report came out in 2018. 6 years later. Nobody will even touch the report because it's been so damaged by the lies told by Trump and by Bill Barr that even if you've got proof, no one wants to hear it because the idea of the Mueller report, everybody just laughs. So that won't work. But I can tell you it's in there. Identified meetings between the Russians and Donald Trump that were illegal. And again, I repeat something I've said so many times, but it's valuable to do this because, you know, Donald repeats lies. And that's how he gets those lies to be believed. So people on the other side need to speak up about truth. Things that are true that we've all seen. So, for example, we know that Lavrov, Foreign Minister Lavrov from Russia, met in the Oval Office with Donald Trump, and he had other Russian people there with him. And the Russian press was there, but not the American press. They did not allow the American press in the room. And the Russians took pictures of everything going on. And what was going on was Donald Trump and these Russians high-fiving each other. We don't have any words. We don't have any language. We don't know what they were saying. But they were high-fiving each other on pictures that we could see. And then later on, we found out that he had been revealing secrets, American government secrets, in the Oval Office to these Russians. Is that okay? I mean, you got him on trial in Florida for stealing secrets, nuclear secrets, and other things. Of course, the Supreme Court said, you can't get him for that because it was an official act. Well, guess what? Jack Smith's got an idea. And they're talking about streamlining the case and coming back into a lean canon with a revised case, cutting out some of these things that the Supreme Court said you can't look at and sticking with the crimes. And a lot of legal people think that this is going to hold water, that it's going to be really powerful. And that's not even counting what's going on in Tanya Chutkan's court, where they've got some other ideas up their sleeves. And I can tell you that, yes, the Trump people think they have a way out. But I also encourage you to remember this. Their way out is hiding the crimes. And their way out is claiming, as already indicated by the Supreme Court, that you're immune from illegal behaviors causing you to be prosecuted because you're the president. It's not that they said the behaviors aren't illegal. They didn't say that. The behaviors are illegal. It's just that you're immune from prosecution. So what are you going to do? Turn your head and say, okay, he's immune, so therefore I'm just going to forget the fact that he's committing crimes. Well, I don't think so. And besides that, you've got the further problem that he's already been convicted for fraud against the state of New York, which has cost this man $500 million. And then, of course, he's got to pay $90 million to the woman who he raped. Judges, juries, grand juries, this went through everything. So again, if you don't believe in America, then you can say, fine, I don't buy it. But if you do believe in our system of government and the judiciary and, you know, how we pursue criminals in this country, if you believe in any of that, well, this man has a problem, and yet people may want to vote for him because they're not thinking about it in this way. And when I say they're not, I'm going to also tell you, this is one of the problems with Joe Biden. I mean, I'm telling you what this case is very clearly. And I understand some people will say that our system isn't fair. But you know what? It's our system. And without it, we have chaos. So if you believe in our system with whatever flaws it's got, then I'm telling you this. This man is a criminal, and he's a serious threat to the United States. And when I come back from this break, we'll take a listen to what the Lincoln Project is saying about the threat of Donald Trump. And this is a brand new clip from the Lincoln Project. It's a good one. However, let me say this. Right now, it's a good time to be thinking about dinner at Wendy's. Wendy's is at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. And let me say that I was out at Wendy's this afternoon. I went there with Vic Faust, and we hung out there with some really good friends of Ben. With Ben, we all sat around and talked a little politics, a little business, all fun. Everybody was not a liberal. In fact, I don't know how to describe Ben, but I can tell you that the other people who were there were actually conservatives. Nobody's as left as I am, that's for sure. But we all sat around and talked and enjoyed ourselves at Wendy's. You know, the food is fabulous there. I mean, that's the key. People go there to eat, and the food was great. You know what they've got. They've got wings, which everybody loves. They've got the smoked meat. They've got hamburgers and cheeseburgers and patty melts. They've got pizza. Really great pizza. And salads, drinks, everything. Great environment, nice atmosphere. Everybody just really enjoyed the time that we spent at Wendy's, and you can too. Just go to 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road and enjoy Wendy's. You'll love it. Great food, great atmosphere, great owners. Just a really nice place in Chesterfield to get something to eat. And then, of course, if you find yourself in Defiance, Missouri, they've got another Wendy's. That's the Wendy's Roadhouse, where they have the same excellent food that you can get over here in Chesterfield at 2999 South Highway 94. Go eat at Wendy's. Now, if you're interested in jewelry, of course, you're not going to eat the jewelry, but you will certainly want to wear it. And the really nice-looking jewelry and every kind you can imagine is at Jewels on Hampton, which is 4506 Hampton in St. Louis, owned, of course, by Al and his son, AJ. They're there all the time. They are great owners, you know, all these people who own their businesses, and then they're on site. I mean, these are the best. You've got to love them and love their businesses. They take care of you. They're not playing around. They're not just sending someone else there to do their work. They're doing the work. Jewels on Hampton is great. Cases filled with jewelry. And of course, if you want to buy and sell either jewelry or coins, they do that at very good prices for you. And you can always go and talk to Al and AJ personally. They're just really good people, fun people, nice. You will like them, guaranteed. And after all the time you spend there, I say this all often, but you can't over say, can't overemphasize this. If you're walking out and you're wondering what time it is and you find that your watch is broken, they will fix your watch too, because they do it all. Fix your watch. They'll design jewelry for you. You can tell them what you want designed. They'll do that for you as well. It's just a great place to deal with jewelry, and it's called Jewels on Hampton. So you'll check them out. And finally, my favorite suit company is at the corner of Forsyth and Central, and that is the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. Just a terrific place to buy suits, to get shoes and shirts and overcoats. Great prices on overcoats in summer because they're not in demand in summer. They will be, but we're not there yet. Plenty of time. Go in and get yourself an overcoat at a great price. Enjoy their suits, their sport coats. I've talked about this new fashion that's sweeping the country, apparently, and that is just the suit coats and wearing all other kinds of jeans, nice jeans or slacks. Yeah, just it's fashionable now, and I love it. So, you know, you can do it all and be comfortable and still look great at the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. 29 years, Jay and Nick know what they're doing. I guarantee it. Of course, I wear my Chucks, but they've got all kinds of dress shoes and shoes that really they're dress, but they're also tennis shoe quality shoes. So, you know, check it all out at the St. Louis Suit Company. And then don't forget that if you're getting married or you're going to a wedding, wedding attire is big at the St. Louis Suit Company. They are famous for their wedding attire, and you just can't beat Jay and Nick at the St. Louis Suit Company, 29 years in Clayton. Okay, so Joe, I promised a clip. This is the Lincoln Project brand new ad, and it'll sort of help you to understand why Donald is a very dangerous man.
2024, Donald Trump defeats a divided and dispirited Democratic campaign. On January 20th, 2025, Donald Trump is sworn in as the 47th President of the United States. Unfortunately, he keeps his promises. Trump seizes control of a divided government, signing hundreds of executive orders implementing Project 2025. Trump replaces over 50,000 civil servants with hardline MAGA loyalists. The federal oath of office now requires declaring loyalty to the president, not the Constitution. Protected by the Supreme Court's grant of total immunity for official acts, Donald Trump orders the Department of Justice to arrest members of the January 6th Commission, current and former DOJ employees, and political opponents for treason, election interference, and conspiracy. He declares it to be an official act. Trump ends birthright citizenship by executive order and turns millions of American-born citizens into illegal aliens overnight. Mass deportations begin. Hundreds of thousands, including legal U.S. residents and American citizens, are imprisoned in newly built camps. Protests erupt. Trump addresses the nation from the Oval Office, invoking the Insurrection Act and declaring the protesters a danger to American sovereignty. He orders the National Guard to use deadly force to suppress the protests. In the wake of the bloody violence, Trump declares nationwide martial law, awarding himself new powers under the freshly signed American Sovereignty Protection Order, which defines protest of immigration policies as non-protected speech and a threat to national security. Governors in New York, California, Illinois, and elsewhere declare their opposition, promising to refuse compliance in their states. Trump orders their arrests. Trump pardons every January 6th attacker, including those who assaulted the police, and in a White House ceremony issues a new presidential medal honoring them. Many are given jobs in his administration. The Department of Education is renamed the Department of American Values and mandates a nationwide Christian nationalist curriculum for all schools receiving federal aid. Trump, joined by Speaker Mike Johnson and evangelical leaders, announces that the Department of Health and Human Services has reclassified mifepristone, making it illegal to distribute or prescribe, as well as new HHS regulations that make IVF treatments impossible to legally administer. Trump reverses one campaign promise by declaring a national abortion ban by executive order. Challenges to his authority are rejected by the Supreme Court, which has seen new appointments from Trump after it was expanded to 12 justices. He signs an executive order removing abortion records from HIPAA privacy regulations and announces a new federal data sharing program so states can monitor women's periods. Thousands are detained while crossing state lines under suspicion of seeking an abortion. Trump's acting Secretary of Defense, a disgraced ex-general, fires over 400 generals and admirals, leaving the military leaderless. Other Trump appointees purge the ranks of the CIA, FBI, and Department of Justice. By executive order, Trump withdraws the United States from NATO and ends Pentagon cooperation with Ukraine. Russian tanks enter Kyiv. Vladimir Zelensky is killed. It is announced that Trump will run for a third term, claiming he was unfairly cheated in the 2020 election. His Supreme Court ultimately agrees with this interpretation, paving the way for Trump's 2028 re-election. If you hear all this and believe it isn't possible, then ask yourself, what did you believe was impossible just 8 years ago? This isn't a fantasy. It's Trump's plan, and he's counting on you to believe it couldn't happen.
So I talked yesterday about this idea of a dystopian world, and I can tell you that this is the perfect example of a dystopian idea that is a fantasy, hasn't happened, just something people are thinking about, but a fantasy which could happen, has reason for us to believe that it might happen, because in fact, this is all of what Donald Trump has promised in Project 2025. If you read Project 2025, I understand you're going to say 972 pages. What do you think I am, nuts? Well, you're going to have to read it, or you will find yourself someday thinking about how the Germans should have read Mein Kampf, because that's what this is. This is an outline for a dystopian universe that would overturn the United States of America. Now, I think, and Nancy Pelosi told you as well, she thinks that this isn't just Donald Trump, because I don't think Donald Trump's smart enough to even come up with this idea. I think that Donald Trump has signed on to this neo-Nazi program, but I think it's really Vladimir Putin's program. I think that Vladimir Putin has made a deal, and that's what Nancy Pelosi said just earlier when I showed you that clip today. And she said that this morning on Morning Joe. That's not proof of anything. It's just that I believe it and she believes it. And I assure you there are many thousands, hundreds of thousands who also believe it. But this is, I think, a deal that he has made with Vladimir Putin for whatever the reason may be. There could be something that Putin has on Trump that causes him to have to do this. Or maybe he just promised him something. Who knows? I will say that if Donald Trump is not elected president, we will find out the answer. But before we do, let's talk to Leslie. Hang on a second. Here goes, Les. So, Les.
Yeah.
So, let me say, great timing. You're not interrupting me now. So, go ahead. I'm willing to hear you out.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's good that you played that. It is really interesting. I didn't realize that the Lincoln Project, I mean, I've known about them, but I just didn't realize that they actually came from a Republican-based idea. I mean,
they're all Republicans.
That surprised me because I thought they were just a liberal, you know, liberal deal there. But
no, actually, they're very conservative. that's the irony of all
that's
of
interesting,
this.
Interesting, right? No doubt about it. But you know, when you bring up Putin, I mean, it's not necessary. When I say it's not necessary, you do admit that it's just you saying that or coming up with that.
No.
Well, there's no proof, like
wait
you
second.
Said.
Wait
no
a second.
Proof in any way.
No, wait a second. Yeah. Nancy Pelosi said it, too.
I don't care, Nancy Pelosi. Okay, I would tell her, right? Get her on the phone. I'll tell her the same thing.
Okay, but I'm just telling you that it's
Nancy
not just
Pelosi
it's not just something. It's not something I cooked up, you know, 5 minutes before I went on the air.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's just not necessary to bring Putin into all of this garbage that has to do with Trump and 2025. You know, there's no reason to bring Putin into it. I mean, if there was, I would say, yeah, look at that. But there's enough to look at without coming up with that.
How about this? And I mentioned this earlier, but you may not have been listening.
I wasn't able to.
Okay. So the Mueller report said that there were 144 illegal meetings between Donald Trump's people and the Russians.
Yeah.
So does that give you a hint as to the possibility that the Russians are running this?
Right. Okay. Fair enough on that. But I will say still, I mean, let's go on what's even more so right in front of our eyes. I know you could say, look, people, you know, when Hitler was in power, people said didn't even look at it like it was a problem, didn't realize what was going on. And, you know, just like that could be. Or that is, you know, what is going on now. So I could see, you know, you bringing in the whole Russian thing, Russia, but it's not necessary is all I could say. There's enough to just look at that is right in front of our eyes for sure. You know, with Trump running for president, and the polls are close, right?
No, I'm not sure. I mean, the polls are what?
The polls show that they're Biden.
The poll. Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
They're close. Yeah. Well, they are close. Yes, they are close, which, I mean, in two ways, that's amazing. It's amazing that they're so close when Joe Biden should be running away with it, which indicates how weak Joe Biden is. So that's one part.
Well, is he weak on what his record has been for?
No.
No.
But you have to tell somebody about it.
Oh, I think it's been told plenty. I mean, Republicans are saying I've heard Republicans say he did a great job. I mean, I know there's the MAGA, the far right MAGA, that they say he's the worst president ever to be, you know, in that office, and that's ridiculous, but. Yeah.
Well, again, you know, we've talked about this and Joe Biden talked about it, that 154 scholars who rank the presidents every year, they have found every year that Donald Trump was the worst president in the history of the United States. And they're saying that Joe
Biden,
they're saying Joe Biden was number 14.
Yeah.
You know, look, somebody will say, well, who are they? I don't know. There are 154 scholars.
Number 14th worst?
No, 14th best.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 14th best, which even 14th worst would be okay if compared to Donald, who's last. Yeah.
Well, right, but I mean, I would have been surprised if he was the
14th. He's 14, and part of the reason that he's so high is because much of what he has done is in the historical tradition of Franklin Roosevelt. In fact, he is more effective than anybody since Franklin Roosevelt.
Now,
when it comes to things that he's done. Now, I'm going to give you the perfect example, and I know you know this because you've got, what, 4 grandkids?
Right.
Okay. So you got 4 grandkids, and, well, they may not be using child care. I don't know. But I can tell you this. It costs $1,400 a month minimum. For each child,
very expensive
in child care. And if you had 4 kids in child care, that's $5,600 a month. People don't even make that much. That's
crazy. But what's your point?
Well, the point is that Joe Biden came up with a program to have the government pay for a large portion of this through child tax care or child care tax credits. And that was good. A lot of people loved it, but then the Republicans killed it when they took over Congress.
And why was that? Why did they stay?
Why was that? Because they're neo-Nazis. Yeah. I don't know why.
No, I don't mean. I mean, what did they didn't say? We're neo-Nazis, so we're getting rid of that. What did they say was the reason why they got rid of it?
They said that they can't afford it because they have to give that money to billionaires.
And they didn't even say we want to give the money to billionaires again.
Well, they did
say we can't afford it.
They gave it.
I don't care.
They gave it to billionaires.
But listen to what I'm asking. What did they say? So they did say. There's no other answer. I'm sure they said we can't afford it. And you know, you think about it. On the other hand, the answer would be we really can't afford to not do it. You know, that's how important it is that people are able to. Nowadays be able to work to make a living and be able to have some kind of child care to help them along in doing that. So
unless they want to take their kids down to the river and drown them,
right? And so then but you did say as far as how effective Biden has been, but then again, you look and you go, well, how effective is he going to be if he really is losing his cognitive, if he can't think too well?
Apparently you're having trouble thinking, too.
Right.
But let me say this about how he thinks.
Yeah.
He has run this country up till today very effectively. In fact,
exponentially he's going down.
Hang on a second. Wait a second. Yeah. He's meeting right now with NATO. He's been meeting with them all week, and tomorrow...
That is true.
Tomorrow, he is going to give a press conference, and I guarantee you it's not going to be 15 minutes. It might go 2 hours, because they're going to ask questions, and they're not going to let him out of there. We're going to find out tomorrow where he stands, because if he can take these people for 2 hours... Well, then he's pretty effective. And if he can't take them, then I think you know what the conversation is going to be.
Yeah, you admit he seems to be in pretty bad shape.
He's struggling.
Yeah. So, but that doesn't mean that you put that guy, the guy that you just depicted in that Lincoln Project video into office.
Well, not to mention the fact, those are things that the Lincoln Project and others are looking at Project 2025, and they're just talking about all the things that he wants to do.
Right.
However, at the beginning of tonight's show, I was talking about his comments, which we played a clip on it, and those comments from last night, he's back talking about Hannibal Lecter and how Chris Christie is a fat pig, and what does that have to do with running this country?
Right,
it's gibberish.
How you think to yourself, how bad could he possibly be before these supporters of his go, enough is enough? You know, I've heard some Republicans now say, and I've told you this, they said it to me, so that's how I know that it's true, that they, even though they're Republicans, and I always thought Republicans would vote Republican no matter what, and Democrats would vote Democrat no matter what, but they've said to me, I can't put that man in office. And I say, well, what would you do? And they say, I would vote for Biden. You know, and that's hard to believe, but that's a good thing. I just don't know how many are out there that really would. They're not MAGA Republicans.
Yeah, and I'm saying that that's going to bring it down to, let's say, 35% to 38% is mm-hmm. what he's going to get. And yeah. and now, if it's Kamala Harris,
yeah,
she might get to his 38%. She might get 50%. And then you'll have those third party people getting, you know, some trickled in votes. So, yeah. you know, it's hard to say. Now, if it's against Biden, you know, Biden only won by, what, 5-6 points last time. So,
yeah,
which is still pretty good, by the way.
You yeah, know, but we 7 million votes. It's swayed some, you know, since then away from him.
Yeah. So that's true in the polls, but you don't know where this is going to be when people actually come out and vote. And when I say that,
yeah.
I remind you and anybody else that just a few days ago, it was said that the right wing was going to run roughshod over the left in France, and that Marie Le Pen and her neo-Nazis, which they are neo-Nazis and they call them that, they would be running France for the first time in 75 years since World War II and you know, since Vichy. That was the Vichy government that ran France during World War II. And so the point is, everybody had it all figured out, but guess what? It didn't happen.
Yeah, so that's another indicator that hopefully people are a little smarter than it seems.
Well, I think they're as smart as it seems, because I don't think it's as bad as you think.
No, I mean, I think like they're not too smart. You're just not admitting that, maybe. But you know, if you can see that many people saying, you know, that go to all his rallies and everything, that are, you know, so total Trumpers, you know, you would admit at least that there are a lot of people that aren't too smart.
Yeah, I'm also going to admit that they didn't go to college.
Yeah.
Well, no.
They did. I've argued that with you. I know you're out of time, but yeah. A lot of them went to college. Don't think yeah. that's not
a lot
true.
Of them, huh? Well, the yes. the numbers are practically zero.
That's not true. Don't say that.
And the latest polls on college say that a third of the country thinks that college has value, and two-thirds think that it's a waste of money and we should forget it.
Okay, well, the perspective on college has changed over the years, but that nonetheless, you know, and a good education is a good thing. Okay, but I'm sorry, there's a lot of people that go to those rallies that went to college.
Not many. Not many. And maybe that's the reason that we've got the trouble that we've got in the first place, because
what?
We have this uneducated electorate that just doesn't know and doesn't care.
I know it sounds good on paper what you're saying, but it's not true. I know a lot of them went to college. They have a degree.
Okay, I have one quick question.
Sure.
Are you?
I can tell you something.
Okay,
people.
Wait. I gotta go. So I have a question. Are you calling me a liar?
I'm calling it the way it is.
Okay. Now you're gone. Listen, this is for the St. Louis Suit Company, for Jules on Hampton, and for Wendy's. This is Showdown, and I'm Mark Kaysen. Good night.